Hey Sam, how do my dude?
I'm good, man. How are you? Trying to bring the energy up from
yawn.
Last week. Yeah, which didn't go well.
Oh man, I've been so snoozy today. These last couple of days.
It's because of the weird fluctuating weather. It's been it's been warm, but then we've had like cool days that swap between hot and cold throughout the day. Like it's just, it doesn't help. You also now live in a bunker, which means you don't have the natural sun to help regulate your sleep cycle.
Yeah. Bloody Satan's ball of bullshit up in the sky. It doesn't disturb me from my slumber anymore. It's great.
I saw this. This is completely off topic. I saw this amazing rendering on Instagram. Mm. And this person had a car. It was, you know, 3D rendering. And a big thing of wood. And it's simulated dropping it the wood on the car on the different gravity of each planetoid in the solar system.
Right.
And how the wood would hit the car differently and how the car physically would react to that. And like it was properly weighted with the suspension and the engine. But then it swaps to the last one is the sun and the car like gets flattened before the wood even makes impact. It like crushes down. The suspension and tires are gone. Very funny. Yeah. You want to hear some tweets that are related to movies and television shows?
Sure. Unless you've got any more crazy, wacky astrophysics simulations to run past me.
I got some like existential dread stuff if you'd like. But
what's Matt up to?
No tweets from Matt, and I said movies and TV shows. Well, here's a tweet that's not about either of those things.
Excellent.
At Before the Movies Pod tagged us in a tweet.
Ooh.
It says, "Oi, go listen to our friend Adam's delightful and insightful new podcast, The Bookshop Podcast. Mm. It's about books and such. It's very smart. Unlike Before the Movies and Video Shop, which are dumb podcasts with zero books in them."
Can vouch.
They
are dumb podcasts.
They are dumb podcasts, and they do have zero books in them. Something we're proud of, thank you very much.
Books are for nerd.
In saying that, the first episode of the Bookshop Podcast, which is currently up, probably, it should be on iTunes by now, right? I think it is.
It is.
Is the first episode is Death on the Nile, which did just have a movie come out on it. So Bob and the host Adam discussed that. And next month, I'm doing The Hobbit with Adam. And then after that, I think you guys are doing something else. But I don't know if that's decided. Yes, Cal.
Hey, Sam. Have you read any of The Hobbit yet?
I'm nearly all the way through the BBC dramatization. I am. Which is an audiobook dramatization that cuts out all the
finished.
Fat.
You nearly finished cheating.
I have the ebook on my e-reader, a Kobo. Don't buy Amazon products. Not sponsored. and I am going to read The Hobbit. I'm a pretty quick reader if I'm into the book. And I've quite enjoyed the audiobook actually. So I think I'll probably enjoy the actual book itself too. I'm also going to do is I'm going to look for some of the original chapters because something I learned, and here I am just burning content for the Bookshop podcast, but certain chapters of The Hobbit were altered in 1956 by Tolkien in order to match up with Lord of the Rings. So I wonder what was in the original versions and how they differ. So I'm going to try and find those chapters and compare them. Going real deep dive.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Subscribe to the Bookshop Podcast for that. Would you like some other tweets that aren't just shamelessly spruiking our friends?
That aren't ads?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
At Riley is good tweeted us saying, Chloe loved telling everyone that they're all pieces of shit who'll betray everyone for any reason. And then was the only one of them to betray anyone, and she does it like three times. Uncharted.
She's left her projector on.
It took me a second. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... Yeah,
I was like,
Chloe. Riley. Yeah, no,
hang on.
Yeah, Riley, you're right. Chloe did do the only treason. But there was that one time where Scully nearly let Tom Holland fall to his death. but ultimately decided to let the bag of gold fall to its death for no reason instead.
Did it? He did, like, he threw it at her, yeah? He threw it at the bad.
Even though there were literally a million other ways he could have stopped her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bad movie. Didn't like it. The more I think about it, the less I liked it, in fact. You know what my favorite bit?
The seats go brrrr.
Oh, I did love the D-box, because I could feel everything.
Boo. This episode is brought to you by D-box. From the people who brought you D's nuts.
God.
Ah!
Cal, stop it. Hoyt, stop it. I've had enough, thank you very much.
We've hit peak comedy. That's it. Wrap it up.
A follow-up tweet from Riley says, it's very funny for three or four supposedly kind of broken characters to be like, I would rather kill us all than ever think about sharing any amount of this $10 billion.
Yeah, that is the thing. It just becomes so ridiculous, the amount of money.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do with... like, I know I'm just one of these, like, a lowly, you know, poro.
Mm. Yeah, that's what they call them. The old poros on the street.
I'm not even, like, that poor compared to some people I know, but I'm also very much not wealthy. I can't even comprehend what I would do with $10 billion.
I know exactly what I would do with $10 billion.
Hard drugs.
I put it immediately into the bank.
Yep.
And say I'm going to live off the interest.
Yeah.
And then buy dumb shit every day for the rest of my life until I have no money left. And my kids are like, Dad, yeah, $10 billion dude. How did you spend $10 billion dudes? And I'd be like, oh, I got some diecast Pokeballs. I bought like
how many?
Every Apple thing that came out forever.
I
played Warhammer. That's most of it.
I was going to say, you bought 10 million diecast Pokeballs. That's how you lost the $10 billion.
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah.
I bought one Tau Manta, and that's all. It's gone.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the final tweet from Riley says, the Batman was very good. I assume you'll be talking about it next week. You assume correct. I was very happy with it. A lot of good performances. And on that note, shall we talk about the Batman?
Play the music. Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast. About what you're watching, maybe I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your other host, Sam. And today, we are doing a podcast on everyone's favourite superhero, the Batman. I don't know why that came out all so weird. I was closing Twitter and something popped up about me. No way home. Anyway, just don't mind me.
Something dead away.
Spoilers for the Batman. Not that there's a lot to spoil, but spoilers for it.
So
we will also talk about some of the animated stuff, Batman Hush, a little bit, because I did watch it specifically for this, you son of a bitch.
Dude, I feel a little bad about it.
Because it's got nothing to do with the Batman.
Okay, because it sort of does.
There's like as far two as details like, that it shares.
Yeah.
And it's mostly got Batman in it.
The Riddler's costume.
And it's got Riddler in it. And that's like it.
And he's covered in tape.
Yeah, yeah. Very like, loosely inspired by... like, spoilers for Batman Hush, I suppose. It's got Batman in it. The Riddler's the villain, but it's a reveal. Unlike the Batman, where everyone just knows Riddler's the villain. They never kind of came out and said it, but they say it pretty early in the movie. And Catwoman plays a major role. That's the other shared familiarity. I quite like the animated movie Batman Hush. It's got a lot of, like, cameo appearances from a huge range of Batman characters. I actually think it would have made a better miniseries. It goes at a clip, but way too fast.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know why they seem I think they're missing a bit of a trick with, like, the DC. Obviously, the DC animated stuff is amazing, But instead of making another Batman the Animated Series, which is the direction they're going at the moment, make a just a serial one-off story based on one of the, like, do a Long Halloween, do a Hush. Like, do some of these, like, stories, but flesh them out like the comics are fleshed out. It's just...
Yeah.
Anyway, should we talk about the Batman? That's what everyone's actually here for.
Yeah, we should. And, like, so, basically, like, with the whole Hush thing, like, I watched Hush, the animated version, when it came out.
Yep.
And then watched the Batman, and then you said, do I still need to watch Hush now that you've seen Batman? And I was like, yeah, I remember it being basically just that movie. I watched Hush again, and was like, it's got nothing to do.
No, it's got Batman, it's got Riddler, and he wears not the Riddler outfit. But, like,
yeah.
It's got him going to the... I think the problem with the movie Hush isn't in it very much. He's not real... It never feels like he's the main villain. Like, feels
that's the point. It's meant to be this mastermind plot.
Yeah, but it never even feels like he's pulling that many strings. Like, I know and that's because it just doesn't have room to breathe. It's focusing on the Batman Catwoman stuff. Like, it needed to be like a 6-episode miniseries, an hour a piece kind of thing, I think would have been amazing.
Yeah, it could have been really cool. And, like, because that, I think the reason why I didn't come to you sooner with, like, don't bother watching Hush, is that I think that because it's not necessarily what the Batman is missing, but it leans so much on the shared universe and the big rogues gallery and the other heroes and stuff compared to this, that, like, I want to see that on the big screen, and I don't think we're going to get it anytime soon.
I think DC has been a little bit scared off, and I don't blame them, but I think, look, I think we should say probably our opinions on the Batman up front. The more I think about the movie, the Batman, the more I love it. I'm having the exact opposite reaction that I did to The Dark Knight Rises. Where I liked it when I first watched it, but the more I thought about it, the more I hated it. To the point that I actually really, really hate The Dark Knight Rises now. But this movie...
I need to rewatch the Nolan trilogy, I think. I probably should have been prepped for this.
I probably do too. But here's the thing with the Nolan trilogy, and I'll get in a little bit about why I love the Batman. I have always loved Batman, but I think over the last few years, I've kind of forgotten how much Batman... Like, for me as a kid, it was Batman, Spider-Man. They were the superheroes that I loved. I watched the Spider-Man animated series. I watched Batman, the animated series. I watched the Spider-Man movies. I watched the Batman movies. They were my jam. I wore the Batman VHS that I had to, like, smithereens, right? Like, I loved... all of those. But in the last few years, Batman has been soured for me, I think, a little bit by the discourse around the Snyderverse, his depiction in some of those movies. Like, he has one great... like, it's nothing against Ben Affleck himself. I think his performance is pretty good. But I think the characterization of Batman completely misses the mark. And again, like I said, I really have a distaste in my mouth for Dark Knight Rises, and I don't feel like ever watching that movie again. I probably will at some point. But what I was going to say about the Nolan trilogy is, I know this is going to be sacrilegious to a lot of people, but I think Batman Begins is the first, is the best one.
Yeah, I think of those three. Yeah.
And I think part of the reason for that... Sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that we've told this story on the podcast before, but, like, when we had people over who hadn't seen The Dark Knight, and we were like, oh, you have to watch it, and we put it on, we felt... Well, I mean, I felt bad, because it was so fucking slow for a watch party.
It is an amazing movie, The Dark Knight. Like, there's no denying it.
Yeah.
But it, for me, it's getting less and less rewatchability value too. Like, Heath Ledger's performance is what I go back for now. I don't go back for Batman. I don't go back for the Tumblr in that movie. Well, if I want either of those things, I watch Batman Begins. Because that's where all that stuff is at its best.
I can't remember the actor's name who plays Eric Dent, but he's great.
Something, yeah, I should remember. But
I can't remember. But
I agree.
He's in Thank You for Smoking.
Yes.
Another excellent performance of his.
Yeah, he's great. He's just barely in it.
Because the thing is, he is in it. He's just completely overshadowed by the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, because that movie goes for so fucking long.
It does go for
that. Like, you forget that he gets a whole like, movie worth of runtime dedicated to just him, his transition to Two-Face, and what that means politically for Gotham. Like, they really flesh that out, but it's just overshadowed by another really good performance.
Well, and the stuff with him is really good. Like, the Joker interrogation scene, Batman going to save him and Rachel. Like, the Dark Knight has some absolutely incredible stuff in it. Like, there's no denying that. But some of the stuff outside of these incredible sequences does drag a little bit. And the Batman might be the same on a rewatch. I don't know yet.
I'm sure that the Batman drags.
But what I was going to say is the big factor for me in what I like more about Batman Begins than The Dark Knight, and why I think and why I love this new one so much, even though it's kind of uncomparable to these movies. People are going to compare really Batman movies, but it's almost redundant that we've brought this up because they're nearly like there are similar plot points because it's Batman, but the Batman characterization is very different. The world is very different, and the execution is entirely different.
So that's, like, that was the meme surrounding this movie for me anyway. Like, I know I kept bringing it up to you, was the whole, oh, finally, we're getting a dark and gritty Batman.
Yeah.
You know, like, they talk about it like it's something new and different, and there's no way that what they're describing could possibly be new and different. But this was so different to all the other Batman movies.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised. And look, part of it is that it knows when to be silly.
Thumb drive.
Thumb drive. Excellent gag.
So
excellent gag.
Because here's... I think...
Yeah.
I think this movie succeeds where the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies succeed. They... while entirely different movies, I think the way they treat the character is that they know the goofy parts of this character, right? And they know the goofy elements of a comic book movie, but they don't shy away from the goofy parts. They do the goofy parts completely sincerely. And I think that's why it works.
Because
the Sam Raimi Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies have some really goofy shit in them, but they take that goofy shit so seriously that you kind of, rather than the Dark Knight movies, which again, excellent movies. If they're your favorite Batman movies, I won't take that away from you. Christian Bale's amazing. His Batman voice is terrible.
And it's not even Batman Begins.
They are so serious. Like, but they cut out the fat. They're like, this is realistic Batman. Which gives a very different experience. And like the point I kept trying to come back to was the difference between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight is Gotham City itself. Gotham City feels like Gotham City to me in Batman Begins. Gotham City in The Dark Knight is just like Chicago or whatever. And then Gotham City in Dark Knight Rises is New York. Like, it doesn't feel like Gotham. It doesn't feel like a real place that is unique. It feels like a real place that I know rather than its own world, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. And I think DC have this weird attitude towards cities. Because, I think in at least most modern interpretation, like most modern canons, all the cities that are fictional exist alongside cities that are real. Like, New York exists and Metropolis exists.
Yeah.
And Gotham exists.
Yeah.
It's all...
There's a fan theory that Earth in the DC universe is actually double the size of our Earth,
because
it fits double the cities.
Superheroes, even the ones that fight at world level, stick to their cities when they're not on the Justice League Watchtower.
Yes.
And so, for Gotham, for Batman to go to Metropolis is, a big deal. That's, extra homework that he has to do.
And that's why Batman vs. Superman sucks dick. Sorry, Mark.
Because Gotham doesn't feel like it exists.
Because Metropolis Gotham and Metropolis are the same city. It's also not Metropolis. Yeah. It's what's it called?
Yeah.
Is it Metropolis?
No, it is Metropolis, yeah.
No. It doesn't sound right for some reason, but...
No. But they're, just across the bay from each other?
Yeah, that's not how... it's technically how cities work, but...
Kind of. But it's... I don't know. It is a bit silly for them to be such different places and to have no influence over each other. Like, the fact that, like, no one in Gotham is intimidated by the thought of Superman coming to fuck their shit up.
Yeah, it's like Superman won't cross the bay. I can't go over there. That's where all the poor people live.
Yeah. Silly.
Completely silly. Batman vs. Superman is a terrible movie with no redeeming qualities.
Like, let's not open up that can of worms.
I'll always rant about how much I hate that movie.
But the Batman, right?
Yes.
Did a good job of, like, it did little things. Like, when you see, like, there's a lot of shots of Batman's feet.
Yes.
I know that sounds gross.
No, but...
There's a lot of shots of Batman wearing just fucking boots.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot... They make his steps almost sound like a cowboy's. He's introduced, like, he slowly walks into a scene like a sheriff almost.
Mm. And, like, instead of the sound of jingling metal on his spurs, it's the sound of high-density rubber on wooden floorboards.
Yeah.
Like, so it sounds like a real footstep coming from a real actual boot, not a bat boot from a bat suit.
Yes.
Like, he's basically just wearing a few bits of metal strapped to black, I assume, like, Kevlar. Like, or, like, multiple layers of denim. Like, he's just a dude in a suit, and you can, like, it feels like he's just a dude in a suit, even when he's getting shot at with fully automatic rifles at point blank range and they're doing nothing. You feel like at any second one of those is going to slip through.
Well, and what I liked as well about his suit and the way, like, because people shot at him and, like, it hit him and he'd go, ah, shit, ow.
Yeah.
You know, he'd react to it. It wasn't like, yeah, like, he felt the impact of that bullet hitting him.
It, like, knocks him back a bit, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, he vengeances your ass. And we all made fun of the I'm vengeance line in the trailer. And is a goofy line.
But that being the whole point of the movie.
So good.
Because how many people watched that and went, oh, that's so cool. Like, heaps of people must have done that.
Sure.
And they're probably all wrong, and this movie is about them being wrong.
Yes, it is. And, look, I don't know if there's... I'm sure it has happened, but... Happened in Batman Forever. Oh my god, it's boiling acid! But Batman doesn't save many people in the movies.
Yeah.
He does a lot of punching.
Superheroes don't save people enough.
In movies, I agree.
And look, that's partly what I like about My Hero Academia. Like, the whole point of that show is that that's what a hero does. Like, it's not even necessarily that they say, like, there's a whole thing about what a hero is in that show. Well, but part of their training is, like, making sure that you can get people safely out of a collapsed building.
Yeah.
That you don't just, like, smash it up with your super strength and laser eyes to pull people out. You've got to do this carefully.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I loved about Batman vs. Superman, where they have that line where they're like, this area is completely deserted, so no one's going to get hurt. Like, these characters intentionally went to a place where there was going to be no one, so they didn't hurt anybody. Mm. The superheroes were saving people by punching someone somewhere else. Mm. I'm being sarcastic. Well,
because how good would it have been for Batman to have put somebody else's life at risk... Because he knows that Superman will save them, and so that person is now at no risk, but Batman would do that for an opening in the fight.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way that in Batman Hush, he plays it straight when Selina throws Lois Lane off the building, because he knows that Clark wouldn't let her die, mind-controlled or not.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, Batman having that much faith in somebody like Superman...
Kind of.
Yeah.
But I also really love how Batman in that movie. Shit.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're getting off track.
Yes.
Batman.
I was going to say, like, he say, like, the way he, like, that stuff with the flare and the imagery of that was so. The fact that he was actually saving people, like, he's, like, helping load people into a, like, evacuation helicopter. I was, like, watching that, I'm like, I didn't realize that's what I needed from a Batman movie. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's some iconic images of,
like... that's who Batman is.
Like, there's that iconic image of Batman sitting on a swing with a little girl, right?
Yeah. Like, that's the bit that...
Can you imagine...
Very smart YouTube video essayists will point to.
Yeah. Can you imagine any Batman, other than this one, actually doing that? Because I can't. I can't imagine Ben Affleck's Batman sitting down on a swing.
But see, like, that's... That, because I think they're all capable of that.
I think they are too.
But Ben Affleck's Batman would be like, no, I'm too busy. There's world-ending stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I would like to.
Mm.
Christopher Nolan's Batman would probably be like, what's your angle, kid? Who do you work for? Where are the other drugs?
Show me
going?
Where the trigger is! Yeah.
But like that is what a superhero is meant to be. And like I going into this, my thought on the whole thing was, I don't want a Batman who's flawed and learning how to become Batman. I'm sick of that shit. I'm sick of seeing superheroes not at their best. They're meant to be paragons that are better than us. I want to see people who are better than the average person.
Yeah.
And so I wanted Batman saving people right from the get-go. But this journey to get there, and the way this movie handled the turnaround right at the end, I think was good enough that I'm happy to have watched this. And I'll quickly await the sequel where Batman is actually saving people.
I'm so there for a make of this a saga. Make 8 of these. Like, this world, like, that they've set up here is exactly what I've wanted from Batman. Like I kept saying, like, the world of Gotham, they shot it in like Scotland, I think, or a lot of it, or Ireland maybe.
Fair enough.
I don't remember.
Couldn't tell you.
But they shot it in like a place that's really gothic, and then they put this like, you know, and then they built like the city around that. So that's why it has this very unique look. Because I remember, because it was definitely in the UK, because I was in the UK while they were shooting it, and I remember Robert Pattinson got COVID pretty early on in the whole ordeal of COVID. And I was like, oh no, Batman's got COVID.
It's funny because it comes from bats. But
does it? Did we figure out?
No.
I thought it came from it was a leak. Anyway, let's not get into that.
Don't. No, not at all. But yeah, like a lot of people throw around the whole, oh, the city's a character in its own right. And it's like, yeah, sure. That's just what you think is the smart sounding thing to say here.
But think about,
like, I think a lot of people throw that out there. But
think about,
don't actually think about what that means.
Well, I was gonna say, yes, it's think about the world of Gotham in some of the animated stuff. The world of Gotham in Harley Quinn, the world of Gotham in Batman the Animated Series. It has to be a world where these characters feel like they can exist naturally.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what never quite works about the Chicago of The Dark Knight Rises, I think. You've got Bane and Ra's al Ghul back, and none of it feels like it fits anymore. The mob boss stuff of The Dark Knight's fine, because the Joker's, you know, like, just a military guy in a clown outfit, so that all kind of works.
Yeah. But once you get to the more fantastical Lazarus Pit
stuff, which they never do in that, mind you. But
no, they just do the...
But they go to, like,
assassins.
The big hole in the ground that he has to climb out of. He fixes his back with a rock. I know people have spoken about the flaws in that movie for years, but I don't like it. I think The Dark Knight Rises is pants. Anyway.
I'm sure that if we rewatch the whole trilogy in a short period, we'd appreciate it a bit more. But it comes down to, that's a long-ass time. I might even be able to watch a whole Lord of the Rings movie in the time it would take us to watch those three movies.
Look, when Batman Forever is sitting right there with Val Kilmer, Jim Carrey,
totally.
Nicole Kidman, not you, Tommy Lee, you're great, but you're just the Joker in that movie. Or, like, I don't know, I would rather watch any of those original four Batman movies with a bunch of mates than I would ever want to sit down and watch the Dark Knight trilogy. While I will never argue that the Dark Knight trilogy isn't a better trilogy, a better series of movies all round, because it is. the original Batman 4 movies are just more fun. They just are. Even Batman and Robin, right, is dumb. It's the dumbest movie you'll see in your life. Man. But how much fun did we have watching that recently?
So much fun. Uma Thurman and bloody Arnold Schwarzenegger are just great.
Chewing scenery. And even the bad ones of those. Oh, sorry, not the bad one. Like, even the, like, the dark one is what I meant to say in the Batman Returns is hilarious. Yeah. There's that bit where Batman grabs Catwoman and he throws her into the floor and he's like, eat floor. It's high in fiber. And I'm like, what does that even mean? But it's hilarious.
Oh, that is stupid.
But also they do a good romance with him and Catwoman in that one, which I liked. And speaking of, you know, and the Batman, I really quite liked Catwoman playing a major role.
Yeah, and like, so in I watched a few things in prep for this. Like, I watched Hush.
Yep.
I watched Year One, the animated movie. And I watched most of The Long Halloween.
Yep.
And one of the main threads across all of that is his relationship with Catwoman.
Yep.
And yeah, and building on that. And like, because basically, like, this movie's story, the plot that actually happens, is about Selina Kyle and her relationship with her dad and how that's and her dad's effect on Gotham.
Yes.
And Batman just happens to go on a bit of a journey of self-discovery on the side.
Almost. Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Like, this could have been a Catwoman movie if the perspective had changed.
Except they would have had to put a scene in of her playing basketball with her cat powers, though.
Oh, man, did you... I loved that one of her cats was called Eartha.
Oh, I didn't catch that. That's fun.
Yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, like, her being personally invested in the story more than Batman was a good and smart choice that, you know, has comic book roots.
Well, and they did a good job of balancing it, right? That's the main drive until... And that ends with Batman. That kind of plot line almost ends when Batman catches Riddler. And that's when Batman then faces the reality that he created Riddler.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Because there's a lot more going on with Riddler than just Batman.
Like, sure.
Falcone created Riddler just as much as
Batman did. Totally. Totally. Like,
yeah.
Lots of pieces in play. I absolutely loved the scene with them in the prison and the, like, the dual balancing kind of power dynamics. And for a scene that's just two people in a room with a glass shield between them, it was so dynamically shot. Matt Reeves is so good. But the way, like, Riddler's sitting down and Batman's back in the shadows when Batman thinks Riddler knows his identity, and then it's revealed that Riddler doesn't, which is such a good twist. Because I thought
Such a good twist.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good twist if you're expecting Batman Hush.
Yes. Or if you've seen a Batman movie before. With that.
Well, fair enough.
Like, I feel like, especially Riddler in the movies, always knows Batman's identity. And I feel like a lot of these movies always end with the villain finding out the identity. And I guess actually less of the movies end that way than I think. They end that way in Batman Forever.
Mm.
The Dark Knight Rises, the villains know from the beginning. Joker never finds out in Dark Knight. Does Scarecrow find out in... No, but he's not the villain. Ra's al Ghul's the villain, and he knows his identity. So maybe I just... Lex Luthor knows his identity. Anyway, I thought it was a nice twist that they actually revealed that he doesn't know his secret identity. I love the way it was done, too. He's like, anyway, we almost got Bruce Wayne. Bugger about that. But you and I, we're still good, eh, mate? I'm like, lol.
That was quite funny. Because the Riddler's whole personality in this movie and in a lot of the source material is this, like, super lonely, like, very isolated kind of guy.
Yeah.
So feeling that connection and then having it so abruptly severed was, like, it made sense for why it was such a big dramatic moment for him. I like, it wasn't necessarily the performance, but, like, I found it a little bit too over the top, the reaction. But, you know, he's a nut job.
I was going to say, considering he was, like, a crazy murderer, I'm going to let it slide, I think, personally. Oh,
totally. But, yeah, like, the fact that, like, the few connections that he's made were these sort of, like, he had this parasocial relationship with Batman, which is so, so, like, linked to the parasocial relationship that people build with internet celebrities.
Yeah.
But sort of in reverse. Like, it was, yeah, it was quite a good commentary on the dangers of becoming too isolated and leaning on the internet for your support network.
Yeah, well, you know, and echo chambers too. Like, you know, it's kind of a little bit of also a lot on, like, extremism. Like, it touches lightly on those themes without digging its fingers in too deep, which I think was the smarter move.
And without just, yeah, without going, oh, boo you on your fucking phone there. You're the bad guy.
Yeah.
Nerdy internet person. How dare you enjoy things like comic books and the internet? Like so many comic book movies and fucking internet-based things do.
Yeah.
That would have really shit me if they had to walk that line less carefully than they did.
Well, and it pays off nicely in the character, for Batman as a character, because he realizes at the very end there when he's stopping them that they're motivated by the exact same thing he is. They just don't have the moral code he does. So if that's what's motivating them, he needs to pivot.
Because a lot of the time we see Batman say, if you kill them, you become just as bad as them.
Yeah.
But you're not often shown what that means.
Yes.
And that the difference between Batman and one of these faceless, nameless thugs murdering innocent people during a time of emergency that they created.
Yeah, which was I was surprised by the ending. I didn't see that being the ending. Just
it was a bit larger scale than I was expecting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Because the Riddler's whole plan seemed to be pretty surgical. It was like removing these bad elements of Gotham that he saw that needed to go. And then this was just like, hey, you know what? Fuck innocent people.
Well, I don't think he cared too much about innocent people, because that whole thing, even though it was going to hurt a lot of people, was just to chop off the head of the city, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not so sure. Like, I think that he was, if he had the chance to go after the other politician, I can't remember her first name, but her last name was Riel. If he had the opportunity to assassinate her in a fun and intricate way, he probably would have, but he didn't, and he didn't see her as such a big threat because she hadn't actually done anything yet.
Yeah.
She was all promises. Once she'd had a long political career of being shitty at fulfilling those promises, he would have.
Yeah.
Then he would have given her the old sore treatment.
Well, and there's something to be said that he kind of, everything he does escalates. Every new thing he does escalates from the last. Every new death, to the point he's crashing a car through a funeral, you know? Like, and then flooding the city. Like, it makes sense that he gets more and more reckless with things keep innocent lives.
Yeah.
And he takes more and more. Like, the first guy he just hits over the head with a hatchet.
Or whatever it was. The whole, he just clubs them with a carpet.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, there's something to be said for like how piss weak that bomb was on that guy's head. That it didn't even kill Batman at point blank range.
Well, the only thing I can assume with that was that the explosive was pointed inwards to the wearer. Like, it was designed to kill him, not necessarily people around it. And if it didn't throw any shrapnel, it would have just been a concussive blast, which is why Batman was just knocked out rather than impaled with anything. Yeah. So I don't...
Yeah.
So I guess it's realistic enough. That following scene in the police station with all the cops around him, and then he, knocks out Gordon, runs through the and then like has to like parasail within. Yeah. Like funny that
I liked the wingsuit.
I liked the wingsuit too. Actually, I'm like, I assume it's you know, in another movie they'll give him his like bat cape that can do that or whatever.
His proper glider.
Yeah, but I liked that all these gizmos were very like they call this year two Batman. He didn't feel like he was supported by a secret military contractor was in the Dark Knight trilogy.
And that's partly what's so good about, like, the boots.
Yeah.
Is that it looked like what he was wearing could essentially be, like, you could throw the Batman stuff over the top, the cape and cowl and the gauntlets over the top.
Yeah.
And then take it off, put it in a backpack and infiltrate the Penguin's
which he did a lot
as Bruce Wayne,
which I quite liked that he was taking the suit off and running around on a motorcycle, like just as a civilian. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say the fun rule of three moment where he's the three different ways that he infiltrates that place.
Oh, great!
It is very funny every time.
Yes, great. I thoroughly enjoyed. Mm. Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
The only bit of proper tech they gave, like fancy non-existent tech with, like, the contact lenses.
Yeah. Which, like, I'm kind of okay with, but it probably could have just been an audio bug.
Or a lapel camera or something. Something just a little bit less.
Yeah.
Like something she wore on her person putting it rather than in her eye.
Yeah.
But I don't mind him having one bit of fancy tech either. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's Batman.
Yeah.
Batman without gadgets is just...
A guy dressed as Batman.
Batman before he's world-level Batman. Like, before he's reached peak Batman. Yeah, is just a dude with gadgets.
True. I would really like... I know I'm not going to get this... But I would really like if they did this as, like, a massive saga. And, you know, you might have to convince Robert Pattinson to do another huge series because he hasn't really done one since Twilight.
Mm.
But if you made, like, six movies of the Batman saga and progressively made him bigger and bigger and more worldly, and even I know we've got the Justice League movie and we got all that other stuff, put him on, like, a world scale with maybe a small Justice League team that is unique to this world and matches this world's aesthetic, that would be sick. I know we won't get that and they won't do it, but...
No. Look, partly because I don't think we have time. Like, if we want to get another couple of Shazam movies, another Aquaman movie, another Wonder Woman movie, before we have a Justice League, you know, that's multiple movies a year. Like, that's a big commitment.
But here's the thing.
DC,
I don't think they should make a Justice League movie. I think the Batman 5 should have Superman and Wonder Woman in it. But it's still the Batman 5. He is the main character. They just have appearances. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, maybe.
And maybe
I would just be so keen for Justice League War.
Maybe not like, those...
Doomsday actually shows up and gets fought off.
Maybe not those characters, but, like, you could do it. Like, why not? At this point, you've got so many characters... This year, we are going to have 5 live-action Batmans across 2 movies.
Yeah. How silly.
But I'm fine with that. Give me this low-grade Batman, and then give me the world threat-level Batman in another one. Anyway.
So, that's the thing. I think that you can have 2 different Batman at the same time. That's no problem. But I'm calling it now. I reckon Robert Pattinson's got a cameo in the Flash movie.
Oh, maybe as the Flash multiverse, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe even as a post-credit scene after the fact. But I reckon they filmed it and they went, cool, if the Batman tanks, we'll just cut it out.
Which it's not. It's doing quite well. It's got the best post-pandemic opening apart from Spider-Man.
Because, like, when was the last time we had a Batman movie? It was...
Argue Batman versus Superman, but it was building on the back of Man of Steel that most people didn't like.
Yeah.
That the general order, the general populace didn't really see and didn't really like. That's not fair necessarily, but like it wasn't received as well as the Dark Knights were, for instance.
Totally. But so Dark Knight Rises was the last just standalone Batman movie we got.
Yeah.
That's a long fucking time ago, man. That's 6 years ago.
I think the Dark Knight Rises 2016, was 2012.
I'm pretty sure
it was the same year as... Let's have a look.
I thought it was 2005, 2008.
The Dark Knight...
2005, 2012, 2016.
The Dark Knight was 2008. Because Batman Begins was 2006. I remember that. Let me look up... Which means Rises would be 2012. Yep. Dark Knight Rises, 2012. 10 years.
Okay, fair enough. 10 years ago. Yeah, that's a fucking long time, man.
Long time now. It's a long time now. There was nearly 10 years between Batman and Robin and Batman Begins. 97 to 2006.
That's a long time.
I guess.
For the second most recognizable superhero of all time to not have a movie in 10 years, pretty big deal.
That's fair.
And like, because I know I'm discounting the Justice League and Batman vs. Superman there. But yeah, like, to not revisit this as a standalone feature in that long is a big deal. I don't know. I can't remember what the point of bringing that up was. But
the Batman is mislabeled on the Wikipedia disambiguation for the term Batman as coming out in 2033.
Anyway, that's funny. That's probably a prank on how long this movie was in development. Because, man, this does not feel like a movie with as much problems as this movie had in production.
Considering how long... Well, the thing is, right, and what, like... It looked on the surface like it had a lot of problems in production. It changed director's hands a couple of times. They changed the Batman, obviously. They moved from... But what came with Ben Affleck leaving as director and then leaving as Batman meant they started fresh. So even though
the movie that had trouble was
entirely scrapped, and then they started on this with Matt Reeves instead. So it's like, it didn't really, it wasn't plagued by the problems per se, because whatever that was going to be, we'll never see.
Mm. And when I was watching this movie, I did notice just how often he sort of looked horrified at a kid going through some trauma.
Oh my God. Like, Pattinson is so good in this.
Because he brings a lot of emotion to the Bruce Wayne character.
Now, something interesting about lot of people are really complaining about this version of Bruce Wayne.
Why?
Because he doesn't dress in a tuxedo and go to a gala and have sex with a pretty lady as part of his disguise.
Boo, who cares?
I agree.
Who gives a fuck?
I agree. Actually, this is the first movie where Bruce Wayne doesn't go to some kind of party or gala.
Mm. Discounting Bruce Wayne as Batman because he's a weirdo up on his house on the hill who doesn't have as good a social skills as Batman.
Yeah, like Bruce Wayne
even
isn't
Bruce
getting
Wayne
with
is less human than Batman.
Yeah. I just really loved pretty much all the characterizations in this. I just think they hit the nail on the... And, like, that's something that the Batman, the Dark Knight trilogy got really right too, I think. Except the characterization of Batman in The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. I didn't think it was great. I like Bruce Wayne. I didn't love Batman in those movies. That's just me.
It's
the voice.
Just
the voice.
Batman's presence in all the police investigation scenes was quite good, but I think what they were going for is intimidating. And what it kind of came across as is almost... neurodivergent. He sort of read a little bit more like a sort of quiet genius, sort of standing off in the corner figuring things out, but he also was one step behind everybody, so his intellect was sort of played down for this movie, which is I think a little bit of a problem. Batman gets basically no win in this. He's just sort of dragged along by the plot.
To an extent, I think...
Like, he outsmarts the cops, but he never gets ahead of Riddler.
No, he doesn't. But I think that is what works. Well, I don't think it works per se, but I don't think it doesn't work.
No, I don't think it doesn't work either. But when he's also just not, he's just non-responsive to people trying to talk to him during the investigation scenes, and he's just awkwardly sort of staring at them, it comes across as this guy's not a genius. This guy's just a weirdo in a bat costume.
Yeah, I did like him being detective-y, though. I like the detective elements in this.
Yeah, and when he pulls it out, when he pulls out the the USB and goes thumb drive, that's like, you can tell that he knows what he's doing there. Like, the personality, like the human being underneath it all sort of shines through.
I read it more as he has nothing to prove to anyone in the room. He knows that he's capable.
Well, yeah. And it's like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with being stoic and quiet. It's just that I think it was direction. Like, he was meant to perform this way.
Yeah.
But he's meant to feel like he's trying to exude confidence and failing.
I mean, maybe that was an intentional choice to make him not seem quite like the Batman we will have later. I don't know.
I think that is what's going on there.
Yeah.
That what we're building towards is a Batman who has a lot of, like, who demands respect in that room. And we're not there yet. And that's the point.
The fact that he doesn't do a Google Translate check on Alfred's Spanish translation is very funny when the Penguin's like, "No Español, fellas."
Oh, man. That whole car chase sequence.
Oh, my God. The Batmobile. I haven't spoken about it yet, but I know people love the Tumblr.
Go on.
And the Tumblr,
gush about the car.
The Tumblr is amazing. I get it. But to me, the Batmobile's a car. And I so was ready for the Batmobile to be a car again. And I love the images they released. Seeing it in motion. Seeing it plow right through that concrete pipe. Chef's kiss. And the roar of it, the way it sounded, like the sound design. Give us. Let me num.
The sound design in general in this movie was excellent.
And I just want to say as well on that note, just on design, it's the best looking Batman movie, I think.
It's the most consistent stylistically across entire 3 hours.
That too. But I think it is genuinely the prettiest Batman movie. The use of the shadow, light and shadow.
Like, you could definitely make a wallpaper out of most of
like I said earlier, the bit with the flare and him leading all the people out of leading them out of the darkness. You know, visual metaphors, great and everything. Yeah. On the nose, but it's beautiful. And the corridor scene where it's lit by gunfire rather than any other lighting as he's like plowing his way through that corridor of dudes. Oh, so good. Yeah.
Man, the way, like, the Riddler just before his first kill, standing in the back of the room with the TV glowing off his eyes, so he's got glowing eyes.
Dude. Oh, so good. So good. That's like a classic horror shot.
Excellent. Yeah, and that seems to be where they went with the Riddler's whole character, is that he's basically like, what if Saw was, like, this impotent loser?
Yeah, well, and Batman's initial reveal too, like I'm not in every shadow, but I could be in any shadow. The boots and his, like, slow move out of the darkness. Ugh. So good.
Really good. And, like, and really laying into that guy. Because, like, that's in the, like, that bit of the trailer really lost it for me. Because I'm like, I don't care how angry this young Batman is.
Yeah.
Because all that does is hammer in how unimportant and how not Batman he is yet. But when we actually get to that scene, there's been that long, drawn-out build-up and the established of, like, the thugs that he's going to beat up and the one thug he ends up just absolutely thrashing. Like, I can see Pattinson's Batman going, maybe if I really fucking whale on this one, they'll all leave.
Yeah.
And well, I won't have to fight them all.
I was going to say, he fought with fear as much as he... Which is what all the Batmans say they do, right? But a lot of them fight with murder instead. I'm looking at you, Batfleck.
A lot of them fight with... clawing a crate and yeeting it into someone's fucking forehead corner first.
Yeah. I did like that this Batman genuinely did seem to not, like, you know, he'd hit a guy as hard as he could, but that was probably the only guy I'm like, he is dead. And he wasn't. We saw that he was, and he ran off afterwards.
Yeah. But like that, by the end of that movie, like, where you can get, like, because Thumb Drive, I know we keep coming back to it, is straight out of an Adam West Batman story.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's so silly.
Absolutely.
So silly.
But yeah, that's what I loved about it. It took the silly stuff seriously, though.
Yeah, like, it just played it straight and moved on. But that establishes for the viewer, I think, that, like, anything can happen in this world, even if it's silly. And so, yeah, it doesn't feel quite as, like... It doesn't feel jarring when he gets fucking wailed on and still gets back up again, because we're in the same universe as Adam West's Batman.
I think your analogy's awful, but I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I,
like,
agree.
You can... It doesn't feel... disconnected because there's some silliness there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna keep thinking of stuff to say about this movie, so we'll have to just wrap it up artificially at some point. But what I enjoyed, I think this movie, and this is gonna sound wanky, is exactly what I wanted from a Batman movie. Like, it felt like a live action take, you know, on the animated movies, right?
Right.
It was a slightly more serious animated Hush, almost. Like, not really, but you know what I mean?
Well, it has a lot of connections to the Long Halloween and...
Yeah, it's very inspired by a couple of different stories. It's more like Year One and Long Halloween than it is like Hush.
But it's fine for those things. Yeah, like, it really did feel comic accurate. It felt like you could take screenshots of this, put speech bubbles on it, print it out, you're done.
Yeah, like, yeah. And that
would have been fine.
Part of the imagery, right? And again, I can't come back to enough of how much I love Zoe as Catwoman. I loved what's his name as Commissioner Gordon. I forget that actor's name. But he was in Westworld.
He's great. He was in. I only really saw him in Hunger Games. So, like, he played a very different character in Hunger Games. So it was nice to see him. He really demanded some presence.
Well, and him and Batman, him like constantly calling Batman man, I really liked.
Like, that he's like just talking to him as a person.
The Batman Gordon dynamic is something they usually get right in a lot of these movies. Like The Dark Knight, I think, got it right. Obviously, Gary Oldman's amazing as well. But I really liked it in this. We haven't really spoken about Alfred much, but he's not in it much.
But he plays such a strong part in the movie.
Well, he's that. The reason he's not in it much, and Gordon is in it a lot, is because Batman in this is Batman. He is no Bruce Wayne. The Bruce Wayne part of his life isn't there, and that's what Alfred is connected to, and Gordon's connected to the Batman part. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think a smart play. I know I just said that they should build up to this Batman being part of a Justice League. I take it back, scrap it. I don't want them to do anything that's bigger than this city getting flooded. I think if you're going to make a bunch more of these movies, but keep the stakes personal to Batman. And I think in the next one, you build up the stuff with Bruce and Alfred.
I think, though, that the only catalyst Batman needs to become world level is the threat.
Well, true.
Like, if Superman, Wonder Woman, and Shazam, and Cyborg are all fighting on the streets because fucking Doomsday and a bunch of parademons have arrived, Batman's not sitting that one out.
No, no.
Like, he'll turn up and he'll go at it, even if he might die.
What did you think of... You're right, totally. Of the Joker?
Bad. That was like that was the closest thing to a bad part of the movie for me, because it just felt like really long and annoying sequel bait. Like it just overstayed its welcome for me.
Who was it? It's Barry.
It's not Jared Leto. Barry. That's Kogan. The main thing.
It's not Jared Leto. It's massive.
Dude, that is honestly the main thing that would have turned me off. If Jared Leto's Joker had made an appearance, I'd have been like, cool, done, B movie.
He's been... he was Droog in Eternals.
Oh, was it him?
From Eternals, yeah.
Okay, fuck. That might actually be a great casting choice.
I think he's probably a pretty good casting choice. I think the thing is, they didn't confirm it was the Joker. He was credited in the movie as unseen Arkham prisoner. I mean, they basically did. He said they basically
come out looking like a clown.
Yeah.
He's the fucking Joker.
They all but called him the Joker. But we haven't had a visual for it. We haven't really had any characterization. It's the briefest little hint that there's more to come. I think good casting choice. I would love to see what this version of the Batman's Joker is. Don't do Joker next.
No, fuck no.
Because you are just going to get comparisons to The Dark Knight. More than you're already getting.
But look, the Joker is too... The Joker is too hard a character to get right. Like, just...
I've seen people saying they want Joaquin Phoenix's Joker to meet this Batman.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
And I'm like, this Batman would accidentally kill Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. Like, Joker is never meant to physically match Batman, right? But Joaquin Phoenix couldn't think his way out of a paper bag. Sorry, not Joaquin Phoenix. I'm sure he can. I'm sure he's quite a smart man. Joaquin Phoenix's Joker cannot outsmart Batman. He's a mastermind villain. No.
He's a very, very sick man who needs help.
Yes.
And
who all the Jokers are, to be fair, but that's...
So, like, the whole thing of him inspiring this, like, turn against Gotham's politicians, like, is basically not recycled, but attributed to the Riddler's crime spree as well.
Yeah.
And the goons we see him fight at the beginning have the white makeup on. There's nothing to say that that Joker didn't exist in this world, but he's just not the Joker. That one of his disciples just rises up as a nobody from the streets, and that's the Druig version.
You could do that.
And that's totally fine.
Don't. But you could.
But that's the thing though, man. Like, what the fuck do you do with the Joker at this point?
Well, here's the thing.
What's he gonna do? Poison Gotham's water supply?
Honestly, yeah. Do it.
But that's what I mean. When the best you can do with the guy is something that's been done hundreds of times at this point, don't fucking do it. Do anybody else.
I think...
Just throw it in there as And Batman captures the Joker after he tries to poison Gotham's water supply. Have that appear on some fucking newsstand somewhere and move the fuck onto somebody interesting.
I think if you're planning to make a few of these, Thanos him, right? Save him for later. Build up to it. Mm. Make it a big deal when it happens. And
make
do
it a
something...
big mastermind plot.
Yeah. And do something... new with the Joker then. But for the next one, do someone else. Do like a... do a Poison Ivy. I would love to see what Matt Reeves would do with a Poison Ivy in this world.
Because, it's so grounded. I want something crazy. Like, I want Poison Ivy. Like, Mr. Freeze, not crazy enough.
Mr. Freeze was the other one I was gonna say, but yeah.
But dude, Mr. Freeze is an obvious go-to because everybody fucking loves Mr. Freeze. Like, do Mr. Freeze. I'm down. I'm here for it. But I want a fucking Clayface. I want fucking Poison Ivy. I want
Clayface would be sick. And I think you could do it in this world. I know it's very grounded.
A shape-shifting
at the moment,
villain. Oh, just don't actually show him being in fucking big mud monster form for most of it. And it's like, this person is impersonating very important people in Gotham and getting access to high-level shit to execute his grand scheme.
Don't do Harvey Dent again.
No.
I know people have said he's a natural, but they did him really well in The Dark Knight. Don't need to touch him. Don't do Bane.
No.
I don't think you need to do... apart from the... don't do Scarecrow. Oh, actually, though, Scarecrow would go really nicely in this world.
Scarecrow would work really well. But yeah, give us somebody whose power set is the next logical progression for this character. Like, you know, give him penguin style, you know, people to like,
I was gonna say, you could just
interact with along the way.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, have like, I think we're going to get multi-villain stories, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Penguin being a minor player in this, but he then like takes over stuff later. Also, we haven't even mentioned that Colin Farrell is the Penguin in this, and you just forget.
Jesus fucking Christ. He's not. He can't be. I don't believe it. Like, man, how does Colin Farrell, in all that, give such an excellent performance?
He is so good.
Because it makes you question, right? Why not just cast Colin Farrell and that makeup department to play Luke Skywalker? Why are we spending so much money rebuilding Luke Skywalker as the $10,000 man when we could just have Colin Farrell do it?
Dude,
in his
I
fucking
agree.
Sleep, probably.
Oh, man. I remember when they announced Colin Farrell as the Penguin. People were like, online, were like, oh, yeah, baby. We've got Daddy Penguin incoming. And then they're like, here you go.
What the fuck?
He's like, no Espanol, fellas.
Oh,
this, like,
dude.
Cartoony Italian man.
If in the next movie he just gets fucking jacked and he just looks exactly like Colin Farrell.
He's like, I don't want to wear the prosthetics this time.
Because that's the thing, right? Colin Farrell could have played fucking any character in this movie. You could cast Colin Farrell as Clayface in the next movie and have him play all the characters just with ridiculous amounts of makeup. And it would just be totally fine.
Yeah, you could. Yep.
Because it wouldn't even... Like, he doesn't sound like the Penguin. He doesn't look like the Penguin.
Yep.
No one would go, hey, that's the same guy. No one.
The other character you could do as the next villain is you could do someone, like, super silly. Like Calendar Man.
Mm.
But do him, like,
well,
really
that's basically
laced.
That's basically the Holiday Killer. Who is...
Long Halloween, right? Yeah.
Do both. Like, do it where it's like, the fake out is that, well, clearly it's Calendar Man, but then, you know, he has an alibi or he gets put in jail and then the next killing happens. Do that trope, who cares?
Do it, yeah, like...
But yeah.
Or just take Calendar Man and make him a super serious villain. I believe you could do it. Genuinely, you could get away with it. What's a really silly villain that like... They made a really serious in the MCU.
The Mandarin twice.
I can't remember. There's like a super silly villain that they were like, we're going to take this villain and make them something. And then it like worked really well. I can't remember. It's been too many MCU movies, man.
Ego the Living Planet.
Ego's probably a good example. But yeah.
I don't know. There's plenty of that shit. Like... I want someone who's got some silly powers to crop up next. And I think Clayface is the way to go because the effect isn't so over the top crazy.
I wouldn't mind either a Killer Croc, like a proper comic accurate Hulk sized Killer Croc.
Mm. Well, and like...
That's not...
Like, yeah, like that'd be fine.
Horrendous, like in Suicide Squad.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Give us a Hulk level... CGI character. Give us King Shark. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, but, nah.
I think we don't need another King Shark, but I honestly think Clayface or Poison Ivy is the way to go, and probably Clayface. Like, it probably should be Clayface.
In saying that, I trust anything that Matt Reeves is gonna do, though, because he's, I've liked pretty much every movie of his I've seen. Not that
he's
made
probably,
a lot, but
yeah,
he made one
like,
of the
he's
best
probably just
of the last
gonna
decade.
Do more best trilogies.
He made one of the best trilogies. Well, two of the three movies in it.
What did he make?
Planet of the Apes 2 and 3.
Oh, fuck. How did I not know that?
Did you not know
that?
That's
excellent.
I feel like
no?
I feel like in all the lead up to the Batman where people are like and I'm like, "Guys, it's Robert Pattinson who's actually a great actor and Matt Reeves who's an awesome director. He made Dawn and War of the Planet of the Apes."
Yeah. Man. And like cuz he also directed Cloverfield, yeah?
Maybe.
Which is like the only
fucking J.J. Abrams movie.
Yeah, he did.
That I don't find incredibly boring. Like, yeah, this guy knows how to bring something good out of something shit and work with shitty people to make something good. Like, you could have put anybody else on this project and I think Matt Reeves would have done an alright job.
Mm. He also made...
They just happened to have an excellent cast supporting him as well.
Let Me In, which is a horror film. Which explains why he's brought horror elements into this.
I mean, Batman should be a horror character. And, yeah, working with psychological stuff like Saw and Seven are the two that people keep quoting at me. Makes total sense for the Riddler.
Matt Reeves also wrote and directed a movie called The Pallbearer, which is a romantic comedy film from 96.
Love it.
Starring David Schwimmer and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Fantastic. just tremendous.
It has a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I've never heard of it.
Oh boy.
The poster is very 90s.
Dude.
96. David Schwimmer wouldn't have even done Friends yet.
No.
And it was produced by J.J. Abrams. Oh, sorry. No. He would have been 2 years into 2 years into Friends.
2 years into Friends. There's no fucking way, J.J. God damn it, J.J. Who do you want to be the next Batman villain in this saga? Tweet us at Video Shop Pod.
Yes, tweet us at Video Shop Pod. I'm sure we will come back to this because I really loved it.
Because we should do the old Batman movies because I think, at this point...
We have never actually discussed the Christopher Nolan ones on the podcast as an episode, have we?
Or probably not, because I think it was a bit before...
Or the Burton ones.
No, I don't think we've done either of those.
Maybe next month. So maybe we should. We'll do like a...
Dude, things are actually coming out now.
Yeah, we keep saying we're going to do months.
Batman,
gotta stop.
Batman needs to be one episode a month for a little bit. Tops.
We'll do it. We'll do Tim Burton's Batmans, Bat-vember. Joel Schumacher's Batmans, and then Christopher Nolan's Batmans.
Sure. I'm down.
At some point.
I'm here for it.
Yes. Tweet us at Video Shop Pod. What did you think of The Batman?
Next week, I think Sonic's coming out.
My brain defaults to boo Sonic.
Yeah, it's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be
bad.
But
then the last one.
But that's what my brain did on the last one, and it was the best movie of the year. So,
dude, look, we basically didn't even cover that movie, so we're gonna watch both.
It's James.
Going into this.
James's fault. Zero stars for James.
I'm sorry, James, but yeah, I.
But you're bad.
It wasn't a good episode.
Bad. You're bad at this, James.
That's okay, man. Not everybody can be like supernovas of charisma like we are.
Truer words were never spoken. And that's a quote from the Adam West Batman, which we also probably have to add to the little marathon thing.
I'm gonna end this episode because I've got other things to do tonight. So
no, you don't.
Tweet us at Video Shop Pod.
Bye.
See you, nerds.